Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning everyone and welcome to our service today. We so hope that you've been enjoying the Friendology series so far. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Ruth and the relationship and friendship between Ruth and Naomi. So let's talk mother-in-laws. I'm sure some of you right now are glad that you're watching from home. Having a mother-in-law myself, Dorothy has and continues to be such a huge blessing to me. But when reflecting back over our relationship and how it established, it's clear to see that we started out as friends. You see, long before Stephen and I started dating, I was friends with his sister. And we would often be there during the week or the weekends with youth. And we started our relationship as friends, and we built on that over the years. And that's where I can see now what we have, that trust and loyalty, and how she treats me as her own. Let's start today with Ruth chapter 1, from verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. And let's note here that the family had left Bethlehem. There was a famine there, and they'd moved to Moab, a foreign country to them. The other note here is that after Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, her two sons married Moabite women who had different beliefs from them and were foreign. They had lived here for around 10 years, and during that time, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, the two daughters-in-law, it doesn't describe what their relationship looked like, but that relationship would have grown over that period. But we'll see further on in the chapter of the bond that Naomi and especially Ruth had established. From verse 6, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." We read here that they all started out on that journey together, and then we read that Naomi gave them advice. Have you ever received advice from your mother-in-law? Let's see a show of hands. I'm sure you know the next question. Did you follow that advice? We have probably all received advice from many people, not just our mother-in-law, but they always seem to get labelled as advice givers. I'll be a mother-in-law twice over in the near future, and I'm already telling myself to keep quiet. Advice is a tricky one. We are all able to give advice, often too quickly, offer what we think would be the right solution because it fits with us and our thinking. But do we like receiving advice? This is where we need to have a little bit of discernment. We can receive that advice graciously and say, yeah, okay, I can see what you're saying, but then come to your own decision for something that sits right with you. So when Naomi tells them to go back to their mother's home and that she wanted the Lord to show them kindness, just as they had shown to Naomi and their husbands, we see a heart that wanted the best for our daughters-in-law. Reading from verse 9. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait till they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand is turned against me. At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn my back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When we got married, we got an embroidered picture that has that last verse on it, that your people will be my people, where you go, I will go. And that was just the beginning of our relationship together as man and wife, that we were committing to each another. We were committing to both following God and putting him first in our lives. This emphasized the journey that Ruth had been on in her relationship with Naomi. Remember that Ruth was a Moabite, a foreigner, and what she says to Naomi here depicts the depth of friendship and relationship she had built. She said that Naomi wanted the best for her daughter-in-laws and felt that returning home was the best option for them. They would have a better future at home than they would with her. For now, Orpah returns to go home. But why did Ruth stay? These two had established something special. Ruth saw something special in Naomi. It said in verse 14 that Ruth clung to Naomi. Have you ever had one of that times with a toddler when you're heading out the door and they cling round your leg or they're hanging round your neck because they don't want you to go out? It said that Ruth clung to her. The bond that they had built was so special. They had been building this for over 10 years. She was saying to Naomi, I'm with you. And when we look at the personalities, the definition of personality is a combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character, nature, and temperament. Ruth and Naomi's relationship had gone to the next level. Naomi had good qualities that Ruth was learning from and gleaning from. And an important theme that we're reading here as well is the loyalty between Ruth and Naomi. She was staying by her side no matter what. Ruth was accepting Naomi's God as her God. And God wants his people to be recognized by others because of the love they have for God. People need to see Jesus in us. Ruth's words of wisdom are a good reminder. If we love others and follow our heart in the way we treat everyone, it's hard to go wrong. Ruth sees something in Naomi and has lived with her example for so many years and wants to choose to go with Naomi. That's a great example of church right there. Then we're going to continue further on in the passage. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So this was the beginning of a beautiful part of their story. They arrive in Bethlehem, which we remember Naomi and her husband had come from here. God always takes us to where we need to be. So Naomi moved from a foreign land due to a famine, gained two daughters-in-law, lost a husband and two sons, and here was Naomi and Ruth entering Bethlehem and people recognizing her immediately. They exclaimed, can this be Naomi? She was known. she'd been remembered. Naomi's meaning of her name is pleasantress. She tells him to call her Mara because she felt bitter that she'd returned empty because she'd had a rough time. Ruth was a foreigner who dedicated her life to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law's faith, even when she saw nothing in it for herself. But because of our faith and our virtuous character, if we read on, we see how God blessed and provided her with a wonderful husband. God had taken them on a journey that would bless them. There's a book called Jesus in Every Page, and it demonstrates that through the Old Testament, we can see Jesus actually on every page. And what we read in Ruth here is a symbolic foretelling of Christ's relationship to humanity. We could read all the books of Ruth, but it would take a few sermons to get through. So much lessons to learn and to grow from. But this has just been a small taste today to see the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law and how it worked. Here on the screen we have a quote from John Maxwell, and it says, "People may hear your words, but they feel your attitude." We've heard today that Ruth heard and felt Naomi's attitude and what had attracted Ruth to stick with Naomi. She said, "I'm with you. I'm sticking with you." Have you got someone who you would say, "I'm with them," maybe because of their character or kindness, maybe because of their popularity, maybe because you partnered with them at school because you knew they were winning the race? I never ever got picked for that. Proverbs 18:24 in the Message says, "This friends come and go, but a true friend sticks to you like family." How true is this? This is such a powerful verse. Friends do come and go. The friends you had maybe years ago are not the friends you have now. But as we mature and see the real qualities in genuine relationships and how we can grow in them, the power of a good friendship is something we should all be striving for. A, to be that friend, and B, to receive from the friend. The most powerful friendship we can ever receive is that of Jesus. And that's where we are, what we are reading in that verse. It starts as a friendship. We get that nudge. We hear that gospel appeal asking if you want to have Jesus in your life, if you want to accept him. And when we do, we need to get to know him. We start at the beginning of a beautiful friendship as we learn who he is and what he can do in and through us. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No one else can save us. No matter how good our friendships or relationships are, they can't give us eternal life. Only Jesus. So what do your friendships, relationships look like this morning? Your mother-in-law's relationship. I know it's not always fluffy clouds and roses. There are times we get stressed, we get annoyed or even angry. But are we going to strive to be more like Ruth and be more like Naomi when we have Jesus living on the inside? When we make that choice to say yes to him, are we going to try and say, "I want to have that powerful relationship with Jesus because he's got everything that I need. He's got everything to help me." How much more growth will we see in our hearts, in our homes, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our churches? Jesus, when we have Jesus in our lives, the power of friendship we have and the love within us is immeasurable. We have an overflow, and we've got his love and forgiveness flowing through us and spilling out. We said yes to him because we see the qualities in him that we yearn for. When we have his forgiveness, we can live free. When we have his peace, we can live peacefully. When we ask for his advice and prayer, we can listen and act in accordance to his will. When he shows his love for us, we can love others because of what he's done for us. He was a perfect, sinless man, and yet he died on a cross for us. The most selfless act that sometimes we as Christians even sometimes struggle to comprehend, how he could do that even for me. And one day, because of his forgiveness and our choice to follow him, we will see him again in glory. And I'm going to leave you with this verse this morning. John 15, verse 17. "So this is my parting command. love one another deeply. We have spoken about giving advice this morning, and this verse is one of the best pieces of advice. In fact, it's a command that Jesus gave us. Do you seek this morning a relationship with God? Are you looking for a powerful connection with him? Are you going to say to him this morning, I'm with you. I surrender my life to you. Will you come into my life and help me? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I want to choose you. Lord, I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need you to come in and do a work within me that I can have a true and loving relationship with you. So Lord, this morning I say I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. Lord, I pray that I can come now alongside you and walk with you and learn from you. Lord, and I turn my life wholly and completely over to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.